G'day there, folks. Paul here, signing back in as we continue our study series, Snapshots in the Writings of Luke. Thanks for taking the time to come and join with me. So we're going to pick up today from Luke chapter 6, verse 27. In the previous video, I was reading this and I'm just fading it out for time's sake because there was a little bit of commentary, a few notes that I wanted to share along the lines here. Make the previous video too long. So we'll pick it up from here. And as always, I would ask, if you haven't read this section, verses 27, maybe even through to the end of the chapter, have a quick read, pause the video, and then come back as soon as you're done. Also gives me a chance for a quick drink. Thank you so much. So let's go. Verse 27, Luke chapter 6. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. A quick note. Actually, no, two quick notes. The first thing here is, look at the language. But I say to you, this is, listen to what I just said and now pay attention to what I'm saying. But I'm going to flip the lid. I'm going to change this around from generalizations. He's going to get really personal. To you who hear, he says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear, we're told elsewhere in Scripture. And then he lays out, oh my, these beautiful, what I like to call, little note in my Bible, impossible demands. Love your enemies. Yeah, no worries. Do good to those who hate you. Sure, not a problem. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who are spiteful towards you. Yep, I can do that. Really? Maybe not. We're going to come back to this because it's actually quite beautiful what he is saying there. When we take it into context with understanding and application, which I spoke about in that previous video, it's kind of exciting, really. So hold your thumb there. Don't get dejected. Don't go all legalistic on me. You know, these next ones, to him who strikes you on one cheek, offer him the other also. Ow. Have you heard people just say, well, yeah, you know, you're going to hit me? Yeah, I'm going to hit me over here. You get the leftist lunatics will see this and do this and say this. I've seen it on sort of, you know, short reels and those types of things. Insanity. It's not what he's talking about. Give to everyone who asks of you. Oh, I missed one. And from him who takes away your cloak, your jacket, don't withhold him. Give him your tunic as well. Give to everyone who asks of you, verse 30, and from him who takes away your good, who steals from you, no, do not ask them back. That's not what it's about. We're talking spiritual things here. All of these. And just as you want men to do to you, verse 31, you also do to them likewise. And if we think about it, the heart's attitude. Isn't this what we're all leaning towards, all of these things? You see these. This is the Sermon on the Plain, but we see the same in more detail, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I do have, I don't know, 20-something videos, a super detailed teaching there on those. Great stuff. It's what I call foundation. It's where I start everybody and anybody whenever I'm involved in any discipleship. Verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is to you? So what? For even sinners love those who love them. He's showing some differences here. And if you just do good, this is the practical, all right? This is what I want you to understand. This is the practical, the physical, instead of the heart in these examples. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? So what? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? So what? Even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much back. So our actions, though they may be good, there's more to it. But love your enemies, he says. There's that word again, love. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. We need to be the same. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So let's have a look at a couple of notes. The impossible demands. Oh boy, I struggled with these for so long, so long. Impossible demands. Now listen carefully. Only if we seek to do them in our own flesh, in our own efforts. But Jesus is not asking us to do them in our strength. Here's the key. But his. When he says, love your enemies, do good, pray. He's not asking us to pretend that some wrong didn't happen. He's not, not calling for us to be doormats. He's showing us a different spirit, his spirit. We need to stop, pause, think, and go, hang on. Of course, if we are honest, and I think that we should be with ourselves, our first reaction, it's to argue. But they don't deserve it. I don't deserve forgiveness. Look what they did to me. I was walking through this with a brother in church who struggled with it for a year because of the hurt that was done to him. And I get it. I've carried things longer than that. Knowing what should be, but not relying on his own strength. Understand this. These things feel impossible because they go against the flesh. But Jesus, he doesn't only command this. He doesn't just expect this. He makes it possible by changing the heart. And the first step, therefore, it's not perfection. It's willingness. Lord, I'm willing. Help me. Seriously, Lord, I know that I should. Help me. And then we take one small step for obedience. A prayer instead of a comeback, a blessing instead of a bite, a quiet act of good instead of getting even. We look at it this way, and sometimes for us, the enemy, it's really just a difficult person, and they can be difficult. I'm not minimizing that, but it's that one who drains you, who criticizes you, who just, you know, keeps misunderstanding you and pointing out your right, your wrongs. Loving them just at the beginning, that might start very small. Not returning the sharp word. Praying for them instead by name, by choice. And then verse 36 again. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. This is what he wants us to get. This is the heart of it. Jesus is always calling us to mercy. Why? Because we've been shown mercy. And when we don't know what to do next, we simply come back to this. We go, Father, Lord, you've been merciful to me. Teach me to show that same mercy to others. And then we come to judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. This continues on the same thought. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. And this teaching, well, it matches, you know, Matthew chapter 7. Don't judge, because the measure that you judge, it will come back to you. And the extended version in Matthew 7 explains the heart issue. It says, you know, take the plank out of your own eye first. Deal honestly with yourself first. So Jesus here, he's not saying that God won't judge. He's warning us against that harsh, condemning spirit. He says, judge not, condemn not, forgive, give. And then adds, the measure you use will be measured back to you. And I love how Matthew 7 explains it. We're not banned. Understand this. We're not banned from discernment. But we must deal with the plank that's in our own eye first. Then help our brother. And I've found that the problem with most judgment is it comes from some kind of point of self-righteousness. Hey, you need to. You need to. The point is simple, though. We need to be discerning. Without judgment. We let mercy become our default. We let forgiveness become our default because, well, God's mercy, it's the reason we're still here and still breathing, is it not? It's the very reason why Christ came. And I have some more notes here, and I think it will be best if yet again we do this in a third video. He spoke a parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Going on, illustrating this point about judgment and now how we are to be trained up by our teacher, Christ. So let's do that. Let's make another video. You can jump straight in and watch it if it's already available for you. If not, I do upload them each week. Take heed though. Listen, as it says here in the very beginning, verse 27, but I say to you who hear this instruction, these impossible demands to our flesh are possible in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, because of Christ. This is what I want you to hear from this particular video. Possible, yes. Begins with a small step, and that small step is just the willing heart. And this is what my encouragement to you is today. If you're in these situations and you've got these impossible demands upon you, just pray, Lord, help me to be willing. That's where it starts. A simple prayer, and the Father of lights through the Holy Spirit will fill you with mercy and His love so it abounds, overflowing, that you are then able to show it to others. And we reflect on this and we pray about this, and in practical application, we begin to demonstrate this. It's a daily thing sometimes. Yes, it is. But I promise you, you can be, as Jesus said, that light on the hill that others can see Him. Yes, absolutely. And it's not done through your judgment, as we'll see here. It's actually done through your love, His love, through you to others. All right, God bless. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.